you just add the card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. ABSA.
The headlines, please. Copperbelt Police recover 230,000 kwacha worth of stolen Lubambe mine equipment. UPND acknowledges local residents' discontent over mining benefits in Northwestern Province. And in global news, Israel announces tactical pause to fighting in parts of Gaza and says it will open aid corridors. Good afternoon, Malumba Malumba with the Phoenix FM main news. Police in Chilelabombo district on the Copperbelt have successfully recovered stolen property valued at $10,000, approximately 230,000 kwacha belonging to Lubambe Copper Mines Limited. The stolen items included a Sumi pump worth $8,000 and a grease gun valued at $2,000. Copperbelt Police Commissioner Pethia Siandenge says, according to a report filed by Nyambe Chamvwa, a security manager at Lubambe Copper Mine, the stolen items were taken from the mine's plant between an unknown date and July 23, 2025. Mr. Siandenge says the recovery of the equipment follows a tip-off from the public on July 25, 2025, resulting in the arrest of Bonaventure Chitengi of Kakoso Township, where the stolen Sumi pump and grease gun were recovered. He says further investigations led to the arrest of Patrick Chiwondo, a geotechnician and a driver at Lubambe Mines Limited, who confessed to stealing the equipment. Mr. Siandenge says the recovered property was positively identified by the mines management through serial numbers and that both suspects have been detained awaiting court appearance. The UPND in Northwestern Province has acknowledged that indigenous citizens have seen little to no benefit from the mining sector since 2021, despite the improved general outlook under the current administration. Party Provincial Chairman Adam Sapezo tells Phoenix News that there is growing discontent among local residents who feel excluded from the economic gains, with most local contractors and suppliers still sidelined from doing business with the mine. Mr. Sapezo says the ruling party in the province is aware that the bulk of the resources from supply contractors, as well as wages and salaries, continue to be externalized, benefiting people from outside the province. He says this is despite the turnaround in the mining sector, particularly at Kansanshi, Lumwana and Kalumbila mines, which had all previously expressed interest in exiting, decisions that were only reversed following the change of government in 2021, which ushered in more favorable mining policies and renewed investor confidence. Mr. Sapezo has since challenged mining companies in Northwestern Province to increase their engagement with local communities, promote beneficiation, and prioritize local suppliers and contractors rather than outsourcing opportunities to firms from outside the region.
I think why there is an outcry is because most of the local contractors have not benefited as much as people anticipated. I think, to cut the short, the long story short, the local community feel they have not benefited from the presence of these bigger mines like it has happened on the Copper Belt. Copper Belt is what it is today because the mines were so caring.
A football player has died on the spot after sustaining fatal head injuries, broken hands and legs, after falling off a moving Volvo truck in Lumezi District, Eastern Province. Provincial Police Commissioner Robertson Mwemba says the accident occurred yesterday around 14:25 hours in Chief Mwanya's area, after the victim, identified as Kamwazia Ngama, aged between 25 and 30 years, fell from the moving truck and was run over by the truck's rear wheel. Mr. Mwemba says that the truck was carrying 60 passengers, all footballers, from Yakobe Village to Chasera Village. In a statement issued to Phoenix News, Mr. Mwemba suspects the incident could have been caused by overloading. The Sub-Saharan African Farmers Organization says the Food Reserve Agency, FRA's initiative of using maize dryers will only deliver its peoples in the next crop marketing season. Organization founder Muronda Munyarazi says this is because it is the first time use of the dryers by the agency and requires patience as the equipment is distributed to all FRA satellite depots. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Munyarazi is urging the FRA to prepare adequately to avoid delays in the maize purchase, which can lead to farmers being exploited by private buyers. He notes that many private buyers have taken advantage of delays in the past, forcing farmers to sell their maize at very low prices. The FRA has purchased 32 grain buyers aimed at improving its maize marketing operations and mitigate post-harvest losses, and will help manage moisture content in grains, enabling earlier crop marketing and reducing climate change impacts on agricultural production.
We will start seeing the difference maybe going forward next year farming season, and the other year we start seeing it getting affected. After 5, 6, or 10 farming seasons, you start really now getting the best of the whole initiative. But to expect the best in the beginning, it's a bit too ambitious. It's almost like a fantasy. So we need to allow a newly initiated or incepted project to have its own turnaround. Because when the ones are using these dryers, it's first they are using them. So it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be something that will take a bit of time.
Private Sector Development Association Chairperson Yusuf Dodia has criticized the International Monetary Fund's IMF $184 million approval for Zambia, calling it an exercise in optics aimed at confusing economic development stakeholders. Mr. Dodia has questioned the logic behind borrowing from the IMF when Zambia's daily export earnings range from $30 million to $50 million, rendering the IMF funding equivalent to just 3 days of export income. He argues that IMF conditions such as increased taxation on small and medium-sized enterprises, SMEs, mobile money transfers, electricity and fuel, undermine economic growth by placing additional burdens on households and businesses. Mr. Dodia notes that the Kwacha has appreciated by 20-23% between late June and July, suggesting that the focus should be on sustaining this trend by increasing exports rather than relying on IMF funding. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Dodia says Zambia should focus on harnessing its export earnings to achieve self-reliance rather than depending on IMF loans. The IMF has agreed to disburse $184 million to Zambia, bringing the total to $1.55 billion that Zambia has received under a 38-month IMF program due to end in October, after agreeing to expedite reforms to boost economic growth and collect more taxes.
Zambia to say, you bring your export earnings into your country, and that way you will not need support from the IMF. You will take care of yourself. Because this 180 million is equivalent to 3 days of export. Why should we be borrowing from the IMF when we are generating a lot more money from export? But that money is not coming to Zambia. The position that I see of the IMF is to keep Zambia in poverty. It's just somebody shining, showing you something shiny to confuse us and think that we are going forward when in fact we are going backwards. I'm definitely not in favor of this IMF program.
Phoenix News, we take a break.
Phoenix FM. A whole new light for radio.
In global news, Israel has announced a tactical pause in military activity in parts of Gaza after it delivered an aid airdrop into Gaza. The Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, says designated humanitarian corridors are being set up for UN convoys to refute the false claim on international starvation. Israel has been facing mounting pressure from Western governments, with aid agencies warning that mass starvation is taking hold.